I think we have spent way too much time talking enough about how to fix a broken healthcare system. We absolutely have to fix the healthcare system. There's no question about it. But we have to create healthy and vibrant communities and healthy and vibrant families. And what I really think of is we have to shift our focus, not just focusing on changing from sickness to health or illness to wellness, but there's a bigger idea out there of well-being. And if you really explore this, what people really are yearning for in their lives is well-being. And the healthcare system alone is not going to produce well-being.
What for you does well-being mean?
Well, for me, there's a number of dimensions that contribute to well-being. Certainly, there's the wellness piece and there's the being, not just doing, but being. Health is a piece of well-being, and health in all of its dimension, physical, social, mental, spiritual. But purpose is very core to well-being. Purpose matters. And if people don't have purpose in their lives, huge risks for health issues. It erodes meaning.
Let's say somebody is kind of drifting through their life. Maybe something has happened that causes them to feel empty. They may have lost a job. A relationship may have ended. A loved one may have passed away. And people lack that kind of vitalizing sense of purpose.
That there's no reason to get up in the morning.
How does that actually affect your health, though?
What happens when people retire and have no plans? There's a higher risk of death and mortality. It truly is that purpose is that core to our sort of health and well-being. So not only is it related in that way, but if people don't have purpose, then that becomes manifested in anxiety and depression and, you know, all kinds of other symptoms, you know, that need to be treated.
And why do you think that's true?
Because our mind-body connection. I mean, we know through the whole field of psychoneuroimmunology that our minds and our thoughts are directly connected to our neurological and immune system. And so, you know, if we are feeling kind of lack of purpose in our lives, that's manifested in every way. But I think the opposite is really interesting to look at as well. We know people, I'm sure you can think of people, and I can too, who don't have physical health. Maybe they have actually really crummy health, but they have exude well-being and being in their lives because they have other aspects of their lives that are so fulfilling. But I bring up that area of well-being because I really think at this time when we recognize that we can't afford as a country to stay on the same path that we've been on, you know, healthcare, we spend more money on healthcare than any other country in the Western world per capita, and yet our outcomes are near the bottom. And in addition to that, we've had millions of people that have not had access to care. And it's estimated that 98,000 people die each year due to medical errors. So we've had huge issues within our healthcare system. So there's no question that what we're doing is not financially sustainable. And healthcare providers aren't happy and patients aren't happy. So we have to make a number of changes in the healthcare system. But beyond just fixing the healthcare system, I think as a society, as a culture, as a nation, we have to be really thinking of how do we advance well-being. And that has to do with not just the healthcare system, but it's what we do in our schools, what we do in our workplaces, what we do in our communities. And that's what I would really love to see a call to is how do we really, you know, align strategies at every level.
Such an important point. I'm interested in knowing how you personally manage the stresses that you as a professor and a researcher and a lecturer undoubtedly encounter. What works for you?
Well, you know, I guess there's a few things. I certainly have a deep purpose in life, and I find my work, you know, incredibly fulfilling. I feel like I have a really strong network of family and friends. I have 4 kids, and now I have 2 grandkids, and I've always said throughout my entire career they rivet me to what's really important in life. But I actually think cultivating mindfulness and my practices comes from the work of mindfulness-based stress reduction. I think that's actually been huge in my life. And what it means is that you're just in the present moment. And so when I'm cultivating mindfulness and I'm sort of sitting here with you, I'm really fully engaged in the conversation we're having, and I'm not thinking about what I did this morning or what I have to do tomorrow or what I have to do tonight or a phone call or emails. I'm just here in the present moment. And when we're able to kind of cultivate mindfulness in our life, I think that is huge in terms of not only making us more effective in connecting to people, but we know that actually reduces stress and makes people more productive, more effective. So I would have to say I think that practice of mindfulness, and I look back in my life, and there were times that I was much more hot-headed and reactive. And when you're mindful, you notice how you're responding, and you can choose what your response is. So if you were having a difficult conversation, or if we were in a meeting and you said something that kind of annoyed me, if I'm not mindful, I might be really reactive and I might just throw a verbal lob back at you or send an angry email. And a lot of life is reactivity. When I'm cultivating mindfulness in my life, you say something that bugs me or annoys me, I notice, wow, when David said that, that really kind of hit me. I can feel my chest is a little tight. I'm breathing a little bit more rapidly.
In a funny way, mindfulness in that example causes you not so much to focus on the guy who just stuck his foot in his mouth as on your reaction to whatever externally happened.
And then I can choose how I'm going to respond. And then it's probably going to be a healthier response than if I just sort of have a knee-jerk response. So, you know, like in looking at my own life, so purpose has been important. Family and friends, you know, has been important, cultivating that practice. But I struggle, like many people. Do I get enough sleep? Not on many nights. Do I eat as well as I should? Absolutely not. Do I exercise as much as I should? Constant quest for me.
Well, so many of these things, in fact, are a constant quest. And being able to be present so that whatever's coming up later or whatever emotional hangover we may be experiencing from the past does not have to at least entirely overlay our experience now. We really can take some pleasure in the peacefulness of single focus.
And it's a difference between living your life on autopilot or sort of living your life, I think, you know, to the fullest. I think big difference there.
Hi, I'm David Freudberg, host of Public Radio's Humankind. We've produced this podcast as a free service to you, and we hope you found the information worth listening to. We're planning to produce other content about integrative health. Can you please help us continue this work? At the top of our homepage, humanmedia.org, click on a section called How You Can Help. From there, you can click on an option to donate. Again, our web address is humanmedia.org. Thank you.